Well, as I open the service, we're here to ordain Chris into the pastoral ministry. But some of you might be asking, what is pastoral ministry? What do we mean by the ministry of word and sacrament? Quite often people say to me, you know, jokingly, they say, well, as a minister, you only work an hour on Sunday. Although at Druin, we have two services. So if I'm preaching in the morning, I'm actually working 2 hours. But then again, I guess I've got to allow a little bit time to download a sermon and read over it myself and present it. And no, there's a lot more to it than that, isn't there? Pastoral ministry is about caring for people. It is about ministering the word of God, to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, and to lead people into that saving knowledge, but also to help those within our churches to grow into a fuller understanding and a fuller love of our Savior. As we prepare for ministry, I remember being at college, and I still remember my first week at college, even though it's some 10 years ago now, I think, coming up to 11. And I remember sitting at the end of that week after the lecturers had given out all the assignments, and there I am sitting there thinking, how am I going to get all of this done? You know, there's only 13 weeks within the semester. I've got 10 lectures. They want me to study. I've got to write all these essays. And quite often we can feel overwhelmed with big tasks. And I'm sure that if you ask Chris about pastoral ministry or any of the ministers here or even elders of the churches, they would say to you that, yes, at times we can feel overwhelmed because there just seems to be so much to do. Where do we turn at those times? Where do we go to get our source of strength? Well, naturally, we turn to Jesus, don't we? And pray to God that God would equip us by his Spirit. And this afternoon, I want to lead you through Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 44, because as we think about ministry within the church, not just Chris as an ordained minister or those of you who are elders, but for each one of us within churches, each one of us who follow the Lord Jesus, we turn to him for an example of how we are to act, how we are to minister to people, but also the model that he sets before us. And that's what Jesus does as we look at this passage in Mark chapter 6. Because this afternoon, the main point I want you to take away is that our ministry is to be like Jesus' ministry and also pointing people to Jesus, the one who meets all of our needs. And so, Chris, if you're feeling challenged in ministry or Christian, if you're feeling challenged in life, turn again to Jesus because he is the one who meets all of our needs. Well, there's 4 points I want you to take away from this passage. And we firstly see the care that is required within ministry. Notice here the apostles gathered around Jesus and they reported to him all they had done and taught. Jenny read to us from earlier in Mark's gospel where Jesus called the 12 to himself and he sent them out. He sent them out with the authority over evil spirits and he gave them instructions that they were to go from town to town, that they weren't to take anything with them, but they were to go to enter houses and to preach the gospel, preach that people should repent from their sins. And they report back to Jesus here in verse 30. And you can almost imagine the excitement of the apostles that as they come back and say, Jesus, you sent us to the towns. And do you know what happened there? We actually preached the gospel and people heard the message of salvation. They heard us speak about the things of God and about the wonders of salvation and the redemption that is ours in him. And do you know what, Jesus? The people, they responded. Or maybe it is a case where we read back in verse 13 that they drove out many demons and they anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And there's the apostles reporting to Jesus, we went out in your name and we used the authority that you gave us and we cast out those demons. And people responded and they were amazed at what we could do in the power of your name. And so here the apostles are coming back and it is a busy time for them where they've been engaged and involved in the ministry that Jesus had called them to. We read in verse 31 that because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. Here they are, they're wanting to get some time with Jesus. They're wanting to have that meal. They're wanting to have that time where they can just sit down and go, oh, finally that task is over. But no, the people keep coming. Such is the popularity of Jesus' ministry. Such is the wonder of the ministry that the disciples performed, that the crowd still kept coming. They flocked to that house that they did not even get a chance to eat. And what does Jesus do in this case? Does he say to the disciples, you know, just pulls them aside and gives them the halftime pep talk? okay, guys, I know that you're feeling a little bit drained and, you know, the sapping of your energy, but come on, just regroup, just keep on going and we can meet these needs. No, he says to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. And here we see a principle of ministry for us, that we're not just to keep on pushing through the bounds of our human limitations. That Christian, you're not just to keep on going thinking, if only I get that done and then that done. God has ordained for us a pattern within life where we should set aside time, where we need to rest, to regroup, to refresh, and to re-strengthen. Notice also the words that Jesus says. He doesn't just say to them, go away, go and have that time of rest. You know, go and laze in that hammock down by the beach and I'll look after things back here. No, Jesus says, come with me. Come with me and get some rest. Chris, if you feel overwhelmed with the ministry tasks that are before you, ensure that you are taking that time resting with your Savior. Christian, if you're feeling tired and down and discouraged, can I encourage you today to spend time with your Savior, with Jesus? He says in Matthew's Gospel, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is that the rest that you seek for? There are times when I just seek rest, where I just want to flop on the couch and zone out and just refresh myself physically, and it's all right to do that from time to time. But we need to be coming back to our Savior and getting rest in Him. We all know about times of rest, don't we? For those of you who are working Monday to Friday, you have your rests on the weekend. There is time out from your regular routines. When I was working in the IT industry, particularly when I was doing that up in Queensland, I was working for the government, and it was great already because we had a 9-day fortnight. I could really rest, you know, have a 3-day weekend every second week. But at a particular time of year when Easter holidays came and Labor Day and the Queen's birthday, fantastic time of year, got all of this time off. And people were looking for that. They were holding out for those holidays where they could get that rest. But the Christian rest is different. We don't just go and lay somewhere or relax or go and do the latest tour. We come with Jesus and we rest with Him. Secondly, within our text, we see that there is the compassion that is to be given within ministry. We read in verse 32 that they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. That's one way to escape the crowds. Get into a boat and get on water. They can't follow you. But notice that they recognized them and they were running along the shore. And they thought, oh, they must be heading for that point, for that point that is remote and quiet over there. Let's get there ahead of them. And so the crowds go. And we read there in verse 34 that when Jesus landed, he sees a large crowd before him. People had come to that place. Oh, no, go away. I'm here with my disciples. We're to take some time out. We are to rest. We are to do that. No, we don't read that, do we? We read there in verse 34 that when Jesus landed and he saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them. Why did he have compassion on them? Because he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus sees the people hungering after the things of God. People searching for truth, searching for meaning. And why did the crowds come and flock after Jesus? Maybe there were those there who wanted the sick healed. But I put it to you that they were hungering after the things of God. They knew about Jesus' ministry. They knew that he was the powerful, the almighty one who was sent by God, and they go to him because they see him as a teacher, one who can provide for them the teaching that they needed. Jesus had compassion on them. And what's the meaning of compassion? It doesn't just mean having pity, you know, just looking at somebody and feeling sorry for them. No, compassion means being moved to do something about that. And Jesus is moved within himself because he sees the crowds like a sheep without a shepherd. And he moves to address their needs. And what does he do to address their needs? He begins to teach them many things. Mark here doesn't record for us what that teaching is. But I can only imagine that it's something along the lines of the Sermon on the Mount, or the many teachings that Jesus gave within the temple courts. or whenever he came across crowds, he stopped to teach them the kingdom of God, that they must repent and that they must believe. Jesus sees that they are wandering, that they are wandering, they are lost like sheep without a shepherd. And so, Chris, within your ministry, Christian, within your ministry, do you have compassion, especially for those who are searching after the truth, those who do not yet know Jesus? And I wonder, within our communities, within our state, within our nation, that we have multitudes, that we have many who are hungering after the truth, and they are wondering, where do we get that? Well, we, following Jesus' example, are to have compassion just as they have, and we are to be moved, to move towards them, to address their needs, to teach them the things of God. That is what Jesus does here. As we see time going on here, we see a challenge that also comes with ministry. Notice there in verse 35 that by this time it was late in the day, so the disciples, they came to him, and they said to Jesus, "This is a remote place and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." It seems a reasonable proposition, doesn't it? The disciples are caring for the needs of the crowd. They are wanting Jesus. Now send them away, Jesus, before it gets dark, so they can go and eat and stay in the villages there. But Jesus challenges them in verse 37. He answered them and says, "You give them something to eat." Jesus says, at least 5,000 men here. What, where to give them something to eat? And we see them respond in that way. They say that would take 8 months of a man's wages. They'd already done the maths. They got out their pocket calculators or perhaps their iPhones and they tapped in the numbers and said, it's going to take 8 months of wages. How are we going to get that money? Some of us are just fishermen. Oh, well, we've left that. We don't have any income. Jesus, what are you telling us? Are you crazy? How are we supposed to do all of this? Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? You know, notice their question there. They notice that it's 8 months of wages. You want us to spend it on the crowd? We could spend it in a better way, couldn't we, Jesus? But Jesus here is saying to them, you give them something to eat. Jesus says, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, "Well, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, we don't need to have graduated from university to know the mathematics here, that 5 loaves and 2 fish doesn't go very well into 5,000 men, does it? They would still be very hungry. You have to like the disciples' rational and logical thinking, don't you? Where Jesus sets that challenge before them, you address this need. And they respond to Jesus and say, "We can't do it. It'll cost too much. We don't have the resources. How are we supposed to do this?" And I wonder within our lives, whether it be as ministers of a church of Jesus Christ or whether it be a Christian, each one of you doing your day-to-day activities, looking at the tasks that are before you, and do you have those times where you throw your hands up and go, "I don't think I can do this, Lord. Things seem to be so overwhelming. How am I supposed to get the resources to do this?" And yet Jesus says to his disciples, and he will be teaching them through this, that they are to trust him. That yes, it's a challenge that is put to the disciples, but they are to trust him to provide all that they need for meeting the needs within this situation. And I wonder within our lives as well, whether we place limitations on God. "Now, it's going to cost too much, Lord. We'd be better off spending that 8 months' wages doing something else. Or how are we supposed to raise that within our churches? Oh, no, it just doesn't seem possible." And yet God calls us to trust him, to provide what we need all in his time for serving him. A number of years ago, I was involved in a mission when I was at college, and we went door knocking. We went to a church and we were there to help the church at the time, and the minister had organized for a few people to come door knocking with us, and as students we were teamed up with somebody within the congregation. And these people were reluctant to do the door knocking, but they thought, "Well, our minister's asked us, we've got a group of students, I suppose we'd better give it a go." If I was to ask you as a minister of a church, you know, would you come door knocking with me? What? Go and knock on a door and say, "Hello, we're from a local church." I don't think I want to do that. But we went out. And we encouraged each other and we prayerfully went along the way. And when we came back and when we debriefed as to our conversations that we had and the homes that we visited, the people from this congregation said to the minister, when are we doing that again? They thought that the task was so overwhelming at first, but then they just stepped out of their comfort zone a little bit. And they prayerfully relied on God and they said, you know what, this is not as hard as what we thought. And I wonder within our ministries whether God challenges us at times to step out of our comfort zone, to go and approach our non-Christian family member or friend and share with them the love of Jesus. But sometimes we think, oh, I'm not sure about the reaction that I'm going to get. Well, go trusting in Jesus that he will supply your need and that he will be there with you to guide you and to lead us. You see, God sometimes stretches us. God sometimes puts those challenges in our way to help us to remember that we are to rely on him, not on our own strength, but to rely on our God who has saved us through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And the challenge for you this afternoon is, are you willing to serve Jesus despite your lack, whatever that lack may be? You might think that I'm not a very eloquent speaker, or you might think that I don't have much time. I don't have many resources. How am I supposed to help the church? But the key question there is, are you willing to serve God with what you have, trusting him that indeed he will meet all of your needs? Well, lastly, we see after this challenge the completed work within ministry. Notice that Jesus says there, he directed the disciples to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. And so they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves, and he gave them to the disciples, who then handed them out to the people. What do we read there in verse 42? They all ate and were satisfied. Not only that, in verse 43, we read that the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. Not only had Jesus met the need, Jesus had supplied above and beyond what they needed for that occasion. Now, some people here, they look at the miracle of Jesus and they try to explain it away. Here we clearly see Jesus working in his power as the Son of God, doing something miraculous before them, taking those five loaves and two fish and providing for 5,000 men who were there on that occasion. But some scholars, well, they want to explain it away. You know, they come up with solutions such as Jesus saying something along these lines. He whispered to Peter, one of the disciples, and said, you know what, I'll distract them with the teaching. There's actually a cave just down and around the corner, and I've stashed enough food there. Just go and bring it out when the time is ready, and I'll give it to everyone. Another scholar has actually said, you know what, they were actually guilted into providing their own lunch, because when this little boy came forward with five loaves and two fish, that was all he had. Everybody else realized that they had their lunch with them, and so everybody was fed that way. That's how people try to explain these things away. But this afternoon, I want you to see that this is Jesus doing a miracle before them, that he is doing something extraordinary within their midst. He is doing something that we just cannot fully comprehend. How did Jesus do that? I don't think we're supposed to answer that question. But just look at Jesus and say, he is the one who meets the needs. In fact, far beyond met the needs of the people of that day. But all of this points to a far greater work, that Jesus came and met our greatest need of all, and that is of a Savior. Jesus in John chapter 6 and verse 33, he says, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And Jesus declares there in verse 35 of John 6, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." And I wonder this afternoon whether there is some of you here who are searching, who are hungering after the truth, who are trying to make sense of this life as we know it, or maybe you're wrestling with the difficulties of life. Maybe you're suffering in your life circumstances and you're wondering, what does this all mean? Well, can I point you to Jesus? Because he is the one who has finished his work. Yes, there is a day when he will return and gather us to be with him himself. But while he was here on earth, he is the one who walked this earth. Yes, he had compassion on those that he met. He healed many people. He did many miracles. But the greatest act of all was to meet our greatest need, and that our greatest need is to have a relationship with God the Father. And Jesus did that through his death and through his resurrection. And it is through trusting in him, through putting our trust in him, repenting of our sin, and putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we too can have life and life eternal. We can have all that we need for journeying through our earthly life. Why? Because Jesus has promised to be with us. Jesus is the one who can meet every need and help us and give us the strength to carry on. So, Chris, as you think about your ministry, Christian, as you think about your difficulties or about your service in the name of our Savior and Jesus, remember that we cannot address every need ourselves, but we can point them to the one who has completed his work through his death and his resurrection. That is the ministry that we are called to perform, to point people to the Lord Jesus Christ, that at his name they may bow before him and submit to him and have the gift of eternal life. Friend, this afternoon, are you a follower of Jesus who is serving Jesus within that way? That you are trusting in him to meet your need, even though whatever is ahead, it might seem overwhelming. Well, have that time of rest. Take care of yourself. Rest with your Savior. Have that compassion on those who are around about you, that you may address their needs as God enables you. But God sometimes challenges us. And where those challenges come, yes, it might look overwhelming, but we point people to the completed work of Jesus. He is the one who meets our needs. Or maybe this afternoon you're not a Christian, and maybe you're part of those who are hungering after the truth. Can I challenge you this afternoon to look to Jesus, to think about your relationship with God, the one who has made you, the one who has made the heavens and the earth? And may it be this day that you turn to him, putting your trust in him, and then going on to serve him all the days of your life. Let me pray.